Well, I sure appreciate that song. I do believe that you can depend on the Lord. I know that He will come through, and I know that He will help us in all of our needs and in our life, and not only our distresses, but He'll just help in our whole life all the way through. I wrote on the board, God is the giver. I feel like the Lord's been given me some things for us for this morning, and I'd like the Lord to bless this time, that it can be a time that can feed our souls. We want that. We want to grow and increase in the Lord. I believe as we understand the Lord more, we'll want and long to grow and increase in Him. Maybe we'll start in John, the first chapter and the first verse. It says, in the beginning was the Word. It's talking about the Lord Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. You know, this morning, if you want life, we need the Lord. That's what we need if we want life. Because God is the giver of all things. All good things come from God. And so I want us to think a little bit this morning. We'd like to go back to Genesis, the very first chapter of Genesis. And, you know, there's so much, and we cannot try to expound the tenth of what's in this chapter. But I just want to think about some of the things that this first chapter of Genesis tells us. You know, in the 26th verse, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image. Why did He use the term us? You know, we find so much out about God from writing and paying attention to the things that is said. You know, we believe that God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is all part of the one Godhead, don't we? And so when God said this from the very beginning, this is not nearly the only place, but it's in many places where He said, let us go down. Different places we find God speaking in terms that today now we understand. Even back there, they didn't fully understand why He said us. But it was understood at times. But we do now, don't we? And so it begins here in the first verse and says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, children, what did God say? Let there be children, light. Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, you know, there's a lot covered in five verses there, isn't there? And so we couldn't begin. God didn't tell us everything, did He? What was the earth in the beginning? Did He clothe it all the way around? Did He just say, let there be light? And light just happened everywhere all around. I don't know how that happened, but there was light before the sun. There was light. And so So He divided that, though, and made the light come from one side, didn't He? God did that. You know, that was the first day. What did God do on the second day? He said, and God made the firmament, verse 7, and divided the waters which were under the firmament, which were from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Now, a firmament is just simply an expanse. That's what it is. It's a distance. It's an expanse of area. And God divided the waters that were below from the waters that, and then he put waters up in the sky. Now, you know, if we didn't know it was there, we wouldn't believe that water could be in the sky, would we? But, you know, I looked up, children, how much water do you think is in the sky at any given time? How much water must there be? How could God hang water in the sky? But he did, didn't he? He's the giver of all things, folks, this morning. I looked up just to see, and this is what I found. I guess they're right. They said at any one instant, the earth's atmosphere contains. Now, think about it for a minute. What is 1,000 gallons like? It's a bunch of water, isn't it? But what would 1 billion gallons of water be like? It'd be a lot, wouldn't it? But this says the Earth's atmosphere contains 37.5 million billions of gallons of water at any given time. And so that's kind of staggering, isn't it? 37.5 million billions of gallons of water. That's a lot, isn't it? You know, this morning, when we think about God, he tells us just a little bit. And we take in and see all that he has done. And folks, it's staggering, isn't it? It's staggering. God is the giver of all those things. He spoke. And on the second day, he divided the waters from the waters. And what did he do on the third day? Children, do you know what he did on the third day? What did God do? Dry land appeared. And he divided the oceans and made dry land appear. God made the grass, the herbs, the fruit trees with the seeds. And he did that on the third day. That's in 9 through 13. 14 to 19 tells what he did on the fourth day. Children, you know what God did on the fourth day? Anybody reading along? God made the sun, the moon, and the stars on the fourth day. God did that. God spoke and it happened. That's how it happened. I could save a lot of money for the world just by telling them this. God spoke and it happened. He did, didn't he? And you know what? There's so much proof of it. Everywhere there's proof of it. That God spoke and it happened. And we know that, we know in our little finite mind that those things don't happen by accident or happen so, do they? The fifth day God made the fish, the birds, the whales, and every living thing in the waters. He made those things, didn't he? And he put them all out there on the fifth day. And you know the sixth day, verse 24, I want to read that. It says, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature. I'm sorry. It is the 24th, and then we'll move to the 28th. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And if we move on down to 28, it says, and God blessed them. Verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, you know what? God said something here that is important. I think the most of us that are a little older understand this. Just inherently, we understand it. But the younger generation don't always understand it. God put those fish there. God put the cattle there. And that's why, and He told us to subdue it. And then He went on to say, He said, you'll have dominion over all those things. And God said, behold, I've given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given them. I've given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, I just wanted to bring that out, that God made all these things, and He put man over that. Folks, we are not just another animal. We are not just another thing that God made on the same level as the animals. And if you read after Noah's day, I think that's in the ninth chapter, I'm not sure, of Genesis, but He tells them that they'll be for food for you too. You know what? God gave those things for us. Let's don't ever buy into the philosophy of today that changes all of that around. And they become as important as us. It'll never be so because God didn't make it that way. But you know what? God is the giver. God is the setter down of the rules. And He did that. He set the rules of life in place. But you know, in the 31st verse, it says, and behold, it was very good. You know what God does, folks, is very good. It is very good. What He does in your life and mine, it is very good. Now, we can see with our eyes the great works of the Lord. And we can believe it is very good. It is amazing. They set these atomic clocks by the heavens and by those things. It is very good. It is to the millisecond. It is amazing the things God has done. Do you know this morning, the Lord formed man. If you look over in Genesis 2 and 7, it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, I want us to think this morning, God made us too. He didn't just make the planets. He didn't just make the animals. He made us, and man became a living soul. And he was made after the similitude of God. Do you know this morning, we're different, aren't we? We look to God in a different way. The animals eat what He gave them. And they bless God because that's just who they are. It's an amazing thing to see what God has made. But they don't have the mental capacity. They don't have the soul. We do. We're on a whole different plane than they are. God gave to us a living soul. God gave to us something that's eternal. The animals, yes, they die and go back to dust. Our bodies do. But we don't. The Lord gave to us a living soul. All this morning, I just want to think through some of these things, and I hope this will be an encouragement. This is that God made us, folks, with the same, even more so perhaps, precision, amazing things that He made all the heavens and the earth and all of those things, He made you and me too. And He made us in His image. And He wants to fill that. The only thing He did with man that was different in creating was that he limited himself. He won't make man. Everything else he set in motion and it does exactly what he said. But he didn't do that with man and woman. He didn't do that, did he? That's for us to recognize God. He wants us to see the greatness of the Lord. He wants us to behold him. And he wants us to give ourselves to him. That's the only way it works. He will never make you serve him. He will never force you into his heaven. He'll never do that. But folks, if we can let our minds rise up above the earthly, temporal things of life and the things that happen in our life and behold God and let him live in our souls, we can see him in heaven. Now I want to talk a little bit and change maybe the subject some. Not the subject, but Acts 17 and 24. I want us to look here a little more and take heed. The word of the Lord brings us so many things that we can grasp hold of if we will. Acts 17 and 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, seeing that he's made all of this stuff, seeing that he's Lord of it all, he says, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Do you know he used to dwell in the temple? You know he had a place there, and there was a box there, and there was all of the Spirit of God dwelt there. And they came and they prayed before that place, didn't they? They came to the temple, and they made sacrifices. But Paul is saying here to these people of Athens, God don't do that. He don't do that anymore. He dwelleth not in temples made with hands. That's why we don't build big temples. We build buildings sufficient to house what we need so that we might be able to have our meetings and our extended meetings and all the, but we don't build temples and we don't lavish it with gold and splendor, do we? We build something that will last and that's sufficient. Folks, we don't ever want to think, because this is a very prevalent thing in some cultures, in some thoughts, in some religions. God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. You never find the early church doing that. So as we begin to look at the things God has done, let's read on here. He says, neither, not only does he not dwell in temples made with hands, though he did at one time. Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. Did you know we can't do anything with our hands to just altogether worship the Lord? I know it's a worship to give ourselves to him, to give to others, to do, to help. Those things are helpful. But folks, our worship has to be deeper. That's why we don't have a band up here this morning. I hope we recognize that that's not the funny notion of a few people. Folks, that was the idea and belief of the church from the earliest days, clear up until the 1800s. You read Clark and all of those that wrote, almost all of them without fail, were very strong about those things. The Lord is not worshipped with men's hands. Now, we know that we can sometimes we may play music and enjoy that, but folks, there's something deeper than that. And it says, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. The Lord giveth to all men life and breath and all things. He gives that to all men. That's what we have, or we would not be here. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. I just wanted to catch all of that, a little of that this morning, that the Lord is worshipped in a deeper way now than they did back then. There was a time when they did worship the Lord with instruments. There was a time. But folks, I hope that we get a hold of these little nuggets of truth in our life as we go along and recognize God is very particular in the way he is. His work in our heart is something that he longs for. And many times people mistake that great sound for the Lord. And it confuses things in a heavenly realm, in our heart's realm. And God wants us to understand those things. Sometime we've taught on that before. I'd like to teach on it again sometime. But I want to think now about Isaiah 66 and 1 and 2. Last chapter of Isaiah. Look at what Isaiah says here. He got a little picture of what God really wanted. And it says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne." It's not very big. The heaven's not very big to me. The heaven's my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? Are you going to build something that's going to impress me? I don't think so. And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. This morning, I want to challenge us that we have on hands what God does take note of. He said he looks to the man. I want God's look. I would like for him to see me. I'd like for him to take note that I am a very needy person. I need him daily. I need him every day. I need him to protect me from Satan. I need him to give me wisdom to guide my family. I need him to help me. I need him to help me in my work. I need him to help me be a blessing to other people. Don't we need the Lord this morning? And he said, I'll look to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, a broken spirit, a spirit that is crushed. Before, not a proud spirit, knowing I have it all or I'm going to take my way or any of that. But the Lord is looking to those that is of a poor, humble spirit. Lord, I have great need of you. Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Do you know this morning the Lord gives himself to those that give themselves to him like that? I want to encourage us this morning that we don't try to serve the Lord in our own ways, our own thoughts, but that we, out of our heart, give to him that honor, that homage, that love, that devotion, that service, that obedience that he commands, actually. The Lord loves that. And you know what he does in return? He begins, this is one of my creation now. I'm going to work in this vessel. You know, it says, he giveth more grace. You know, the scripture says that. That's in James 4. But it says, but he giveth more grace. Do you know what? When we give ourselves to the Lord and humble our hearts before him, he begins to give to us. And he begins to create in our life what he wants to create in our life. All the beautiful things we see around, we can see that God loves to create. We can see that he loves to do amazing things. But did we know that he wants to do amazing things in our heart? Did we know that he wants to do amazing things in our emotional life? Do we know that he wants to do amazing things in deliverance for us and power? Or is he too weak for that? Has he somehow limited himself that he can never empower a man to live in such a way that he truly pleases God every day? Is that possible? I just believe God's that big, don't you? But folks, we got to be pretty low to get that grace that God has for us. So I want to encourage us this morning. You know, the scriptures tell us to trust not in our riches, not in a high mind, but in the living God, which giveth us all things richly to enjoy. That comes from God. He's the giver. Where did the animals come from? Did we make them? We didn't make any of them, did we? Did we somehow create? No, we didn't create. God gave them to us. And He gives to us all things richly that we might enjoy the things of God. Let's don't stop until we have those things. Let's let the Lord create. Let's let Him recreate in us if need be. Let's let Him work in us in a way that we begin to take in and enjoy the good things that the God of heaven has made for us in our life. And it's not going to come in great temples. And it's not going to come through the great wealth of the world or the fame or fortune or any of those things. It's not going to come through our beauty or anything else. Those things come to some people. But folks, that's not where life is found. Life is found in God. Those things will fail us in a moment at the end of our life. Certainly when we die, they'll fail us. And so it is the Lord. It is the Lord. And I want to encourage us this morning. I know it's a pretty simple thought, but folks, it is the Lord that we need. We need to search for Him in our life. Let our heart become completely destitute of our own, I can do it, I can handle it. Lord, I need You every day. I just believe that He fills the hungry soul. He fills the hungry soul with good things this morning. Let Him work in us. And I think you'll be surprised at what the Lord wants to build. Do you know He's a builder? Do you know He's a creator? He's a worker. He does things. Ephesians 2 and 10. Look at this. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. There's a few people in the world that have a right, sweet, gentle spirit of God living in their heart. Did you know that? It's the work of God. And they're full of good works. Those people are full of good works. That's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be a fountain that flows and allows the graces of God to work through us and flow to others. Now, we could try to get under a crush and you got to do this and you need to be about His business. Folks, we need to be letting the Lord be about His business in our life. We are His workmanship. He wants to take our life if we will let Him. If we'll yield ourselves to Him. He wants to take your life and He wants to begin to build. He lays a foundation. Through us, He lays a foundation. That foundation is Christ, isn't it? We build upon Him. We dig deep, don't we? We dig until the things are out of the way that will stop us from settling on a good foundation. He uses the plant growth as another idea of that. Something hard down there can't go down. You know what? We want to get down to something solid, don't we? And the Lord wants that this morning. And He wants to create in our life. And I just want to urge us today, let the Lord create in your life. Believe Him. That's what Abraham did. He believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God. He obeyed God. And God accepted him. He left when God said, get up and leave this place. And you know, Abraham never got to enjoy a big house. He lived in tents all his life. Abraham did that, didn't he? Because God was working in his life. He was working His workmanship in Abraham's life. And we look back and we see a pillar of faith. And we see somebody that believed God. I wonder, and I've wondered this so many times, I wonder how many other people like Abraham that God called and said, I want you to get up and leave this place. Or He said, I want you to go here or go. I wonder how many times God has spoke to people like that. Has He spoken to you? I want you to get up and leave the place you are in. I want you to leave your sins. I want you to leave your place or whatever it is. You know what? There's a few people that believe God and they get up and follow Him. We find that, don't we, with Caleb, Joshua and Caleb. And we find that there was a whole nation that did not believe God. And though the Lord had proved Himself to them over and over, and they came up to the place to go into the Lord's promises, and they looked at the giants, the things that could kill them, the things that they were afraid of. God, you're going to take me in there? Yes, I'm going to take you in there. No way. There's giants in there, and we'll be bread for them. You know, that's what they believed. And so it limited them. But there was two that believed. So this morning, I trust there's a lot of us here that believe. A lot of us here that have taken up our cross and followed the Lord. Who hath believed our report, folks, this morning? Who is willing to say, I believe. I'm going to let the Lord build in my life, and I'm going to follow that. And I'll never turn back from it by the grace of God. So this morning, the Lord help us. I want to read this place that we're most of us so familiar with, Jeremiah 18 and 1. There's a little story here where the Lord told Jeremiah, He said, I want you to go down to the potter's house. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. You ever seen that? Probably many of us have. Have you ever seen a potter working on a wheel? I have. I've watched them pump it up with their foot by hand and get that heavy, heavy piece of rock or whatever it is. And it's going round and round. It has a lot of momentum going there. And then he puts that clay on there and he begins to pound that clay. And he begins to work with that clay and throw water on that clay and get the clay first to a point that he can work with it. A lot of pounding, because the clay is stiff. But the Lord is like that too, isn't He? He begins to work in our life. And first He has to get us where we say, okay, yes, Lord. And then the potter begins to work with his hands once that clay gets to that. And he begins to push his hands in and he puts his fingers in. And you can see him pushing his fingers in. And the clay just comes up. And he begins to make a beautiful vessel. And when he gets done, it's an amazing thing that the potter has done. And so Jeremiah, he said, I want you to go down there. I want you to see this site. And he went down and looked. And the vessel, verse 4, that he made of clay was marred. It didn't turn out. It fell over or something happened. And it didn't turn out like it was supposed to. And it was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. And so he took that clay and he probably pounded it back down and he started over. Do we know that that's what God, He's the giver, folks. That's what He wants to do in our lives. He's not looking, oh, you messed up, you made a mistake, I'm done. Oh no, the Lord, as long as we will let Him, He wants to work with us. And so we give ourselves to Him. Lord, here I am, this lump of clay. Would you work with me? Would you help me? Would you teach me your ways and show me your paths and make out of me a vessel to honor? Lord, would you do that? Of course He would. He's just looking for the contrite heart, the one that'll yield to His dealings and His work. And then the word of the Lord, verse 5, came to me saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Can I do just like this with you? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, So are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it, when I've said judgment upon a nation, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight that it obey not my voice, then I'll repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. So the Lord here is wanting to work in our lives. I know this is pretty simple. Folks, the Lord loves to work in our lives. I'm persuaded just seeing the works of God's hands and knowing Him, I'm persuaded that He loves to create. I'm persuaded that He's very creative and He does a lot of things. And He's looking at your life and at mine with longing because He wants to make out of us a vessel that's beautiful. He wants to make out of us a vessel that has good works coming out of it. That He can pour from His Spirit all the time. That He can pour out of us. He's looking for a vessel that He can work through this morning. I want to ask us, will we be that vessel today? You know, just maybe one more scripture or so. In 2 Peter 1. Listen to this. And 3 and 4. According as His divine power. Well, Peter addresses these folks and he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us. His divine power has given unto us. He didn't just give the gifts He did to the earth and all the... His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We've got to escape. And we sang this song. Watch and pray. The Lord told us that, didn't He? Himself. Watch and pray. He's coming back. And folks, He wants to work in us a blessing that nothing else can. And I want to encourage us this morning to begin to call out to God daily. Lord, I'd like Your will in my life today. I'd like You to work in my life. I'd like You to be there. And folks, I believe if we will, that God will cause us to be whole. He'll do that. That's His work. That's what He does in a life. He takes it in the form that it is. He begins to pound on it. And He begins to get it loosened up, and He begins to get it softened up, and He begins to work with it, and then He makes what He wants to out of it. Let's let the work of God be done in our lives this morning and not resist it in any way. Lord, pound on me. Lord, shape me. Lord, take me. Whatever You want to do, Lord, work in my life. Can our heart long for that this morning? I hope it does. I hope our heart longs. Lord, please work Your will in my life. Y'all pray for me.